myself, you know. But praise God. Anyway, so we had some time to dwell and to work on some things. And to Brother Eddie asked me what my title was before service started. I said, I don't know yet. I've kind of been juggling between a couple of things. But so I kind of stuck with the one I had been working on anyway. So we'll give it a shot and see how it goes just with me tonight. But it's good to be here, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak once again. So I just give God all the praise and glory and honor. But if you have a Bible and you care to turn with me to Genesis chapter 37, we're going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture, but it's going to be necessary. And I'm fading in and out, so I'm going to change mic. I think my battery's dying. How's that? There we go. Everybody there? Amen. All right. We'll start at verse number 1. And it reads like this in the King James Version. It's a familiar story. It might be kind of elementary tonight, but just bear with me. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf, or bowed down. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother, and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here I am. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. When he saw them afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into a pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto him, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicer and balm of myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. We'll stop right there tonight. I apologize for the lengthy read there. I hope you got entertainment out of that, but I had to emphasize on the dreams and everything. Tonight's message is, the dream ain't over. The dream ain't, that's country, ain't over. Let's pray with me one more time, and we'll get right to it. Father, I thank you for the opportunity once again to deliver thy word unto thy people, so great a people, God. And I just ask you to touch and anoint me tonight to do the task that you have laid before me, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto thee, O God, and let me deliver unto thy people, Father, for a purpose, Father, for it doesn't return void, but it goes out to do exactly what you said it to do. And Father, we just ask you to move and minister in a mighty way tonight, touching each and every life, supplying each and every need according to your riches and glory. And Father, we'll give a testimony of what you have done in your house tonight. In Christ Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Yeah, the dream isn't over. Ain't it funny how God does things, though? He'll lay a dream on you and tell you something great. And just when you think that it's going to happen the next day, something chaotic breaks out in your life. You know, or God lays a plan or a purpose in your life, and then all of a sudden it starts going exactly opposite of what the plan or the purpose was. You're like, whoa, 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 we're taking a backtrack. Now we take a look at Joseph's life, and he gets not only one, but a confirmation dream as well of what's going to happen in his family's life. And the next thing he knows, he's being sold into slavery. We all know Joseph's story. We all know that it's the next 13 years of his life become more tragic, but God had his hand upon his life the whole way. And my point tonight is that so many times in our life, when we think that the dream isn't going according to plan, we can take a look at Joseph's life. You know, I've used this reference in my life personally so many times. That is one thing that I can say this story has helped me to hold on in hard times and hard situations, because so many times when we feel like giving up, I can relate to this story. I can say, you know what? If Joseph can hang in there for 13 years to God's plan, I can hold on just a little bit longer. If he can hold on for that duration of his faith, if he can trust God, and that's the whole purpose of believing in God, right? Hebrews 11:1. For faith is what? Let me read it, because I don't want to butcher it up. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've got to believe in God, even when all circumstances don't point into that direction. We got to trust God that He knows exactly what He's doing, even if the situation looks totally against everything that you thought and what God told you it was. I'm sure Joseph being sold into slavery wasn't exactly how he thought the plan would start out. He didn't think that the dream, but he, you know what? That was the first step of the dream right there. That was the exact first step. The worst day of his life was the first step of the dream. And we've got to be able to be like that. You know, I wonder if the Bible never really says if Joseph had any bad days, but I wonder if it is. I wonder if he did ever just throw his hands up and get frustrated, or I'd have to say, being a human being, that he had to have some times, but then he would just, as he'd get alone and he'd get in that quiet time with God, he would just say, you know what? That dream is still there. It's still there. It hasn't gone anywhere, and it's not over. Now to relate it to us and our lives, you know, maybe God has dropped something in your life. Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe it was last week. And maybe, or whatever the case may be, and it hasn't gone into the place that you thought it should go. The message tonight, saints, is not to give up, but it's to remember the dream. Remember to trust God. Remember not to put our faith and our substance on circumstance, but to put it into the hands of God and let Him run the course that's set before us. Let's go to John chapter 21 tonight, if you would. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse number 1. Everybody there? John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They say unto him, excuse me, we also go with me. They went forth and they entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast ye the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. You know, and here's a point that Pastor David kind of reiterated this morning. He said Jesus, you know, in his last days was telling his disciples exactly what was going to happen. He said, I'm going to die. This is what's going to happen. Y'all going to leave. And he said they wouldn't listen. You know, and that's what kind of reiterated to me today. Ain't it when God's trying to give us some kind of information in our lives, whether it's good or it's bad, we don't want to believe it. We want to lose hope. Just like, say you're going and you have that promise of God and you're going through things and things are tragic and God's telling you it's going to get better. You're going to see the end. You're going to ride this thing out and you're going to be, oh no, it's not, God. It's impossible. Have you seen my circumstances? Have you seen my situations? We don't ever want to listen to the voice of God. We always want to just, be doubters within our minds. Okay, maybe I'm just talking about myself because y'all are quiet and ain't nobody agreeing with me. So, okay, it's just me. I'm the one that when God's telling me things, whether it's good news or bad news, oh, God, that'll never happen. That's terrible. I don't want to know. Why would you say something like that? I don't want to trust in that. No. You know, I've had situations in my life where God has said things like that, where he's kind of give you a heads up of what's coming to pass. Oh, buckle down. It's getting ready to get rough. Oh, no, it's not. Everything's okay. Everything's fine. And then sure as the world. And then when things were going, things are bad and there's good news coming. He said, all right, hold on. Here comes. No, it's not. God, have you seen what's going on? This is crazy. Saints, tonight, it's we got to start believing and trusting in God. I think we're losing our imagination of God. I think we're getting complacent and we're just stepping aside and we're saying God is not the God of impossibility anymore. But you know what? That's what he specializes in. That's his area of expertise. So many times, I mean, if it wasn't impossible, would it be God? I mean, if you could do it by your hand, would it be God then? No. If it's impossible, that's his area of expertise, and that's what he likes to work in the most. So here's the disciples. The impossible has happened. They have lost Jesus. They didn't believe what he said. And what's their first instinct? Let's go back to what we know. I'm going fishing. Who's coming with me? You know what? That's our first instinct every time. You know, whenever things look like we're stepping out of the plan of God or it's not going the way that we thought it should, I'm not going to pray about it anymore. I'm not going to even worry with it. I'm just going to go and I'm going to go do what I know to do. I'm going to worry about me. I want to make sure I can take care of myself. Saints, tonight, that's not the answer. When you finally, when you read to this chapter, when Jesus is talking to Peter, he's saying, hey, feed my lambs. He says, I need you to go back and do what I set you to do a long time ago. Don't give up on the plan that I've laid to you, disciples. I asked you to be fishers, but not fishers of fish, fishers of men. I've set a plan for your life. And it's much greater than you would be if you'd stayed at the docks reeling in nets every day. You'll impact more lives by doing the things that God has called you to do, the things that He's laid on your heart to do, but we're afraid to step out of the comfort zone and go do. He had to make one more appearance unto these men and tell them, hey, look, cast your net on the other side. See, if you're listening unto me, I'll provide everything that you have or everything that you need in your life. Moving right along. Matthew chapter 24. God wants to find us in those situations. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be constant. You know what wins? I had a wrestling coach one time, and I was going to the state championship wrestling match tournament, and we had a little meeting before we left, and he said, Brandon, you want to know what wins championships? I was 17 years old, 16 years old. I didn't really much care at the time. But it's amazing what you remember as you go through things. He said, you want to know what wins championships? I said, what wins championships? Consistency. Consistency wins championships. Even when you don't feel like doing it, keep doing it. He says, keep doing it. Stay focused. Keep pressing. Keep going. Keep moving. Being consistent in what you do. Not wavering to the left or the right, but keep persevere. Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of the servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I say all this tonight to point to illustrate the fact how important it is not to give up on the dream. You know, so many times we're going to be running the race and we're going to be enduring things and we get going and he said, okay, God, any day now, any day it's supposed to happen. It's going to happen to God. If it doesn't happen anytime soon, I'm just going to cash in all my chips and I'm going to be done. We're going to go back to what we know. But the importance of enduring this thing is more than just a physical endurance, but it's a spiritual. It's an eternal endurance as well. There's something on the other end. And God's saying, look, there's so much more at the end of this thing than there is just in this small vapor of a life that we have. And we've got to be consistent in our faith. Even when he doesn't show up, even when it's not when you think it is, you need to still keep pressing toward the mark. You need to still run the race all the way to the finish line. Don't give up. You know, God's saying, because when we get there, it's going to be much greater than anything you ever thought. You know, Saints of God, I can tell you the last 5 years of my life have been the hardest. And the hardest of my life. And every day I've questioned the purpose of God in my life. And I didn't understand the tactics. I still to this day don't realize some of the reasons why the things that I've had to go through or had to see or do. And you know what? But now, you know, God's put me in places and I've talked to people and I've done things and I've met new people and they've told me some of their life stories. And I'm like, psh, man, thank you, God. You know, I've heard some testimony of some people just recently where I just looked at my life and I said, man, I live in Candyland. I said, what some of these friends of mine are things that have endured and they were innocent in the cause. I mean, just the people they met and things that how they've been done wrong. I just, man, I almost cried for them. I was like, my goodness. You know, I began to thank God. He said, you know what? Mine weren't so bad after all. But still, it was to me at that point, it was tough. And I began to say, God, what in the world? But you know what? I'm starting to see some of the benefits. They're starting to trickle in now. I'm starting to see the hand of God move and things are starting to turn around. And you know what I'm saying? You know, God has said it exactly like it was. He would say, get ready, get ready, get ready. And you know what? And that's the purpose of being faithful in those things. The dream's not over when the trouble starts. The dream is just beginning. And I'll close out on this passage of Scripture. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 41. I won't read the whole story of Joseph to you tonight, unless you want to. I mean, if you ain't got nowhere else you'd like to be, we can read the next couple chapters. But we'll just roll over to chapter 41 right quick. Verses 51. We'll start at verse number 50. That'll work. Now Joseph's been brought out of the pit prison. He's been made prime minister over Egypt, over all the rationing out the corn and gathering the food during the seven plenteous years of the harvest. And this is what's happened. Verse number 50, and he said, and unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which is Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest on bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. He named his two children, his new beginning, those two names. He said, God hath made me forget all my troubles that I went through. Because he's brought this dream unto pass. And he still hasn't had the encounter of his brothers and family bowing down to him yet. But he said, God hath made me forget all my troubles just at the beginning of him turning this situation around in my life. And he said, the second one, he said, for God caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. You know, even in the worst times, God can get you to be so prosperous and you don't even realize it. You know, it's not always about your financial blessings or your things. It's about the impact you make in people's lives. It's about the things you do that you didn't even realize you'd done. And somebody will come up to you later on and say, you know what? you really done that. You really done a good deed unto me. You know, it's like when I got injured at work back in January, I had people that I worked with that I didn't even realize I had impacted calling me up, checking on me, didn't even know they even knew my name anymore. You know, it's just, but I saw how. And they would say things like, man, I just wanted to check on you and make sure you're okay and yada, yada, and just wanted to talk, just hear my voice and all those things, and just be so nice and so kind. And I didn't realize I had even touched them in that kind of way. I mean, they hunted down my phone number. I didn't give it to them. And, But I was so grateful for that. That was the most impacting thing. I was just like, my goodness, that was so awesome to me that somebody thought of me that way. You know, it's just, even when you're in your troubles or in your trials, you're still fruitful unto people. You're still doing things and showing the glory of God. But if I guess I had to tie it all at the end tonight and get my point across, is to just remain faithful, saints. Even when everything's stacked against you and everything's falling apart or whatever, even if everything's going good, don't forget the things in the hand of God. Because so many times when we get going good, we just want to, all right, here we go. I'm on my own now. I can... We tend to neglect the things of God. We tend to forget where we come from. And I tell God all the time, I say, God, when you start this thing, I don't want to forget where I came from. I want to remember where you brought me from in all those hard times. I want to remember and I want to give thanks to you. Saints, tonight is just staying faithful. Run the course. Keep it until the end. Because, you know, we're getting into some crazy times right now. Man, crazy. Crazy times. I mean, people were finding comfort in some terrible lies out there. But what our obligation is not to political correctness and holding hands in hands. We got to stand our ground and we got to run this course all the way to the end. It may not be popular, but it's right. You know, it's exactly what God's called us to do. And, you know, I said I was going to close on that scripture, and I just saw the last one. I'm sorry. Let me read this thing, and then I promise I'm done. James chapter 1, verse number 12. We all know this one anyway. James chapter 1, verse number 12. I don't want to leave no stone unturned. I want to make sure I get everything that was... It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed. Joseph was blessed. Saints, tonight, when we endure the tragedies of life, it's not to destroy us, but it's to make us stronger. It's to make us to be there for others, to help them through their trials. But just remember the dream tonight. What is it? What is the dream that God laid on your heart? What is the promise? What is the thing that you know that God's going to bring to pass in your life but hasn't done it? Don't give up on it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the whole foundation of this thing. It's wherever it said it's because of our faith. It's our faith. We've got to be willing to believe that God's going to bring it to pass. Amen. Let's all find a place to pray tonight as we're going to close. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the time and opportunity to be in your house and to share your word, Father. And I thank you for the dream, God. I thank you for everything that you've done in our lives, God, and everything that you're going to do. For everyone here tonight, Lord God, that the dream has not come to pass, or if the circumstances are stacked up against them, Father, I pray that you would comfort them tonight, Lord God. I pray that you would encourage them in a powerful way to let them know that you're working behind the scenes. Speak unto their hearts and their lives and let them know, Father, that it's coming, that it's on the way. For blessed is the man that endureth temptation. God, help us, Lord God, to stay focused on the goals and the things that you have for our lives. And Father, we'll be sure to give you glory and honor and praise for it all. Father, touch us, Father, not only for our benefit, but for the kingdom's benefit, Lord. And I ask you, Lord God, in a powerful way tonight, to just touch each and every one here, then bless them, that took time and opportunity to come out to be in your house and to draw close unto you. And Father, I ask that you would draw close unto them this night, this hour. Father, I thank you for everything that's said and done. Father, if there's any special needs in their lives, I ask you to meet them. Supply them according to your riches and glory. Show yourself strong in their lives. Let them see it, Father, that they may further believe and depend upon you in all things and give a testimony of what God has done in their lives. And Father, we'll thank you for it. And in Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Thank you very much tonight.